So we move into hour number three. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. Just talk Sweet 16 with both Dan Hurley and Mitch Henderson. So you've got Princeton going up against Creighton. Tough matchup. Good matchup. Great matchup. I thought Mitch's perspective was incredible, obviously, but he's in a very different deal. What Dan Hurley was saying about how when you play in the first round at UConn, that's very different than being in the first round when you're with Rhode Island. I would imagine, right? So Mitch Henderson, because he's been there, he went to school there, he played there, he won there, he played for a legend and an icon, and obviously he's a brilliant guy. He has the perfect perspective for what's going on right now at Princeton. He understands. And you can see whereby, I know it's not his personality to be tight per se, but he understands. If ever there was a guy in the moment who understands the moment, it's Mitch Henderson. He knows. He's been there so long. He understands how incredible it is. I love the way he started the interview when I said, does it feel pretty normal and pretty legit, or does it feel just surreal as hell and wild? He goes, that. But he also, I love that point that he made. That's why I reiterated it. He said, it is that. It's all that. It's incredible. It's wild. I didn't think we would be in this spot, but I'm really excited because we have a really nice team. I thought that was a really important point to make. And the other important point was one that I made during the interview. The thing about Princeton, and they showed me so much, for them to win the game that they won against Arizona, you know, one of the, obviously the biggest win in school history, they'll talk about that game for 100 years. That will always be a part of Princeton lore. You know, that story he told about Ross Tucker, that Ross told him, one of the biggest reasons I went to Princeton was that UCLA game. You wonder how many people will then say one of the biggest reasons I decided to go Ivy or I decided to go to Princeton was the Arizona game. They're going to talk about that game for 500 years. I mean, it was that big of a win. But what impresses me the most is so many times you win that game, you know it'll never be better. You just had a moment of a lifetime. There's going to be a letdown. And teams get blown the hell out after that happens. They didn't. They played a really good game after that, a really complete game, and they beat a good Missouri team. That told me a lot about them. So they're in tough. They're in tough against Creighton, but that's a great matchup. And then you got Dan Hurley, a damn good coach, man. Tough, really tough, but a really good coach. UConn is back. They're a power program once again, and they're good enough to not only beat Arkansas, they're good enough to not only get to the Final Four. UConn is good enough to win it all this year. It would not surprise me if they were the last team standing. They're that good. The Big Head reminds me of it almost hourly because he hit them early. One thing, you got to get through Arkansas. You got to get through Muss. Kind of hate that those two dudes have to play each other, but that's the tournament, right? That'll happen. So who gets the Jungle Karma? Dan Hurley or E. Muss, who I've known longer than anybody in the business. I don't know. I don't control it. But they both came in. They both did their job. Jumbo, so we're going to find out. We've been talking about Rick Pitino. You know my thoughts on that. I want to talk about John Calipari because there is that connection too, right? Like, why didn't we get Rick Pitino? BBN, really? Why didn't we get Rick Pitino? Because you have John Calipari. That's why. And I know a lot of you don't want to hear that, but you're going to. I want to talk about Cal. I'll do that in a minute. Let's get a phone call. Oh, I was going to take that phone call, the one I wanted. All right, so let me reset you on the phone lines. If you're on hold right now and you haven't gotten on yet, pretty safe to assume you're not going to get on. However, if you want to take a shot, 1-800-636-8686. One more thing. It's Wednesday. I want to push you to listen to our podcast, the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 260 with Bob Myers, Golden State GM. He was funny. He has his own podcast now. And without giving away the entire interview, I said, Bob, why did you want to take that on? What do you get out of that? What's it been like? He's like, I don't know about you. I don't know how many times you've done it. He goes, I've done like 10 of these things. How long have you done it? I said, you're number 260. He's like, dude. I said, right? But Bob Myers, if you like him on this show, you're obviously going to like him long form. He was really good. So we're going to push that out after the program today. All right, so Kentucky, let's talk for a minute. You know I love you. You know I love Lex Vegas, one of my favorite places. I love Lexington, Kentucky. Big Blue, I know you're still in the midst. Like, we're still in the midst of this Rick Pitino hype storm. I'm not going to ask you how you're living because I already know. Y'all are living pretty terribly, especially seeing Pitino get all this positive run the last couple of days. It's only making you more miserable. Am I wrong? I know you're frustrated, BBN. I know you expect better, BBN. And I want to be very clear about this. You should expect better. You should be frustrated. Kentucky basketball absolutely should expect better than three straight tournaments without a trip to the Sweet 16. At UK, that's not okay. That's not good enough. Kentucky should expect better than what it got this year. Kentucky should expect better than what it got in the tournament this year. So I want to be very clear about that. Just, I'm going to take a pause. I want to let that sink in. I get it. But I want you to be clear about this. You're not firing John Calipari as a result of this year or even the last 3 years. And if you're in the Big Blue Nation and that's what you're calling for, this guy's head, you need to settle down. Take a deep breath. Calm the hell down. R-E-L-A-X. No, no Aaron Rodgers update. R-E-L-A-X. I'm not saying things are perfect. I'm saying breaking off Cal is pretty idiotic to me. It's not the solution. There are issues. I'm not denying that. Maybe ultimately, Cal won't be able to fix the issues. But he's earned the right to try. If the guy still has that fire and he still wants to be where he is and he wants to be the one to bring them back to where they belong and where they were, you let this guy take that shot. If he's walking around burned out, over it, doesn't want to be there, doesn't think that he's the right guy any longer, then sure, you work out a deal, you let him go. But he's not throwing off that vibe. That's not what I'm hearing from this guy. What I'm hearing from Cal is, yeah, we got a few issues. I want to fix them. I'm the guy to fix them. You don't fire a guy who already brought you back from the dead, all right? So again, before you break out the pitchforks and you start chanting for Cal's head on a stick, take a second and think this through. Because you should not be running this dude out of Lex Vegas, even if actual Vegas is already speculating about it. And it is. Check out these odds that dropped this morning from Oddshark on who is going to be coaching the Kentucky Wildcats in the 2023 season opener. Check out these numbers. Minus 900 Cal. So pretty obviously they expect it, except there is action on who else might be there. Minus 900 Cal, plus 950 Eddie Munster. Jock. Billy Donovan. Minus 900 on Cal. Plus 950 on Eddie Munster. And wait for the next one. Plus 950 also on my dude E. Muss. Man, that's how far E. Muss has come. That's incredible. Oh, here's one. This is interesting. Plus 1100 on Nate. Wrong spot at the wrong time, Oates. How about these odds? And how about the odds on the living legend that is E. Muss? Of course E. Muss would do a hell of a job for the BBN. As you would for any program anywhere. Let me just stop right there for a minute. I'm saying John Calipari under no circumstances should be fired. Not now. But to think that E. Muss is rumored to be a candidate at Kentucky, given how hard E. Muss had to work just to get a college job, just to get back in the college game, is incredible. I mean, that's some Rick Pitino stuff right there, minus all the scandal. Eric Musselman and his journey are absolutely amazing. All that said, there should not be odds on this. Cal's job should not be in doubt. You fire that dude, and then he just becomes another program's Rick Pitino. Meanwhile, how about that? You want to get stuck with Nate Oates? Listen, Nate can coach. Nate's a damn good coach. I never said he wasn't. But do you really want that? Damn good coach, but extremely tone deaf. Listen, it's not like Cal is oblivious to what's going on anyway. It's not like Cal isn't aware of the standard that he himself set at Kentucky.
I have empathy. You know, I understand what this program's about. And I think, again, that's what makes it what it is. And that's why I tell players this isn't for everybody, because the expectations are so high. And the same with coaching. It's not for everybody. This thing is, there's a high expectation level, and it is Kentucky. You put that on, the other team's going to play out of their minds, and they're going to play like they have nothing to lose. And that means you got to play that way.
Let me tell you something. Nobody's built for that gig for an extremely long time. It's not sustainable, man, for the reasons he just mentioned. The pressure is intense. But he knows that. He knows you. He knows that. He brought you back from the dead. He helped create this culture. And he's right. Playing there isn't for everybody. He's also right when he says coaching there is not for everybody. But have you already forgotten what BBN was like when the others were in charge? It's one of the best jobs in the country, of course, but it's also one of the most intense, most challenging, most difficult jobs in the country, and it will eat anybody and everybody alive, even Cal. But he knows this, and he stays in the fight, and he's earned the right to dig his way out. Have you seen the class he's got coming in next year? The guy isn't giving in or giving up or laying it up. All right, so if that class comes in next year, and we're having the same conversation next year that we're having right now, and if we're talking about a subpar regular season, and we're talking about yet another early round exit in the NCAA tournament next year, then the conversation's different. Hell, he may not want to be around if that were to happen again. But can we not forget what this guy's done? Lest you forget, BBN, he won that natty. He's taken three Kentucky teams to the Final Four. He has the most tourney wins of any active coach, the best tourney win percentage of any active coach. And it's not like he can't still attract and develop talent, because he can. He only had the Naismith Player of the Year last season. He's very likely to send another freshman to the lottery this year in point guard, Cason Wallace, and the class that's coming in. We're not talking about program rot. We're not talking about this ship taking on crazy water, cracking in half, and sinking into the North Atlantic. We're talking about a team that's come up short. We're talking about a team that's not meeting the standard. But it's a standard that he himself set. And believe me, the players are still coming. They are. So what I'm saying to you is, man, settle down. Relax. You're not firing John Calipari, nor should you. Cal is not the poop in the ice cream. BBN, to hear you tell it, you make it sound like he took a big dump in the ice cream.
There's a bucket of poop and there's a bucket of ice cream. You can put all the ice cream in that poop that you want. It doesn't change it. But one little pinch of that poop in that ice cream ruins that ice cream. And I'll tell a guy, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream.
I mean, such a great line, except that I've seen a lot of Kentucky fans saying, hey, Rome, Cal, my man, you're not a pinch. You just took a big dump in the ice cream. No, he didn't. Listen, my man still is the ice cream. It might be a little melty at the moment. I'm not even saying that he's untouchable, nor am I saying you can't question this guy. I'm not saying he's above reproach. I'm just reminding you, Kentucky fan, and I know, who am I? A native Californian on the outside looking in. I'm just saying, you do have an all-time great coach. He did bring you back from the dead, and he's not done yet. And if anybody deserves the opportunity to right the ship, which again is not cracked in half and is not sinking, taking a few buckets of water here and then, it's him. He deserves that chance to fix it and right that ship. So take a deep breath. R-E-L-A-X, let this dude do work. He's still bringing the talent in. He still knows what it takes. He did not forget how to coach. You have not bottomed out. It's not time for a change. BBM is hot now. 1-800-636-8686. You, my man, just took a gigantic dump in the ice cream. No, he didn't. But what a great analogy. What a great analogy. Raider Ant. Y'all want clarification on the jungle karma, don't you? He says, quote, "You just said E-Must was your guy, and you think that he believes in the jungle karma. So why do you mess with your guy's karma and bring on the UConn men's basketball coach? What's up with that?
Jungle juju.
Why? Because it's my job. Why? Because then I would never interview anybody that Must ever goes up against. Must understands. Must just wants to cover his own bases and make sure that he has the karma. But Must is not a guy that would ever, and we're really good friends, but Must would never say to me, yo, JR. Must is the only guy who JRs me. JR, how do you do that? How do you do me like that? How do you put that guy on? JR, how do you disrespect me and not push the jungle juju my way? You know why? As much as Must believes in the karma, he's got much greater concerns than the karma in the way he matches up or doesn't against UConn. He's okay with it. He's okay with it. It's my job to bring you as many big names as possible. So if I can get any coach in the Sweet 16 on before their matchup, I'm going to do it regardless. Dan Hurley is a great story and a great coach of a great program, and he's very good for the program. That's why I brought him on. E-Mus is a damn good coach and literally one of my best friends. That's why I brought him on. Mitch Henderson came on to remind me of something he said to me back in the day and how I was wrong. Hey, man, I've been wrong a lot this week, haven't I? Not only have I been wrong a lot this week, people have not been shy about pointing out to me that I've been wrong. Hey, Alvin, that's another person who just corrected me that you didn't run. Alvin says, dude, how many times do we have to go over this? We don't do it to guess. You know why? To answer your question, why would you put him on? If the other guy is your guy, quote unquote, why would you give the other guy the karma? Because I don't root. Because I don't root. I love Mus. Man, like I love the guy. When he came on last week, we ended the interview by telling we love each other. I do. I love the guy. But I don't have a dog in the fight per se, right? I'm here to be objective and not to root or push the karma any which way. The karma just goes. I have no say in who gets it. That's why. But I guess that's a long way of saying, why did I put him on? Because he's in the Sweet 16. That's why I put him on. And they are good enough to win the whole thing. All right, when we come back. Hey, what do you say you do your part of the job now? Hit me. I don't know, Rome. I don't really like any of these topics. Great, give me a better one. I'm here. What do you want to talk about? I don't know, Rome. I don't want people to clown me and mock me if I'm not good. How do you know unless you shoot your shot? You might be nothing but net, yo. Get up in here. Scared cowards. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. I mentioned earlier, if Shohei signs a new deal, how do you value that deal? How do you pay that guy? There's never been, I mean, to call him the greatest player ever is not only not a reach, but nobody can do what he does in the history of the world. So what's the value for somebody like that? What's the value on a guy who's one of the best pitchers in the game and one of the best hitters in the game both? How do you value that? I know this. Shohei's not going to pull a Lamar and negotiate that deal himself. I wouldn't think. And how's that working out, Lamar? Although Mike Florio did report that Lamar does have somebody, quote, representing him, but that person's not NFLPA certified. So this is, I think, getting worse, not better. Get up in here, hit me. I want your thoughts. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What's your beef? All right, so really quickly, I mentioned Shohei has got the 1 year left, and it doesn't look or feel like he's going to stay here. And why would he? He wants to win. You saw him last night. Not that there were any questions at all about this guy. But if there were, and I'm saying there's not, but if there were, it's how would he react or how would he handle the big stage? Like a bleeping boss. Like couldn't have been more comfortable on the big stage. Like absolutely loved it, relished it, was thriving on the big stage last night. You saw him when he came off the mound after punching out his teammate. You don't think that guy doesn't want more of those moments? All of those moments?
Three, two. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world!
So, he's got a year left on his contract, and he's not acting or sounding like he's going to be here. So, he's going to be someplace else. Maybe LA is setting it all up. Because that's what the Dodgers do. Maybe they're setting it all up for him. Maybe if you're the Mets, you just give this dude a blank check. With the Yankees, they've been a little bit more prudent in recent years, financially speaking. I don't know. But how would you begin to put a value on this guy? How do you pay a guy? How do you pay a guy who's good enough to win the Cy Young if you were a PO? And how do you pay a guy who's one of the best hitters in baseball? How do you pay a guy who's arguably the greatest baseball player ever? And he's 28. How do you put a value on that? I have no idea, but SpotRack does. On Twitter, here's what they put. Quote, this is what they tweeted. Our current valuations for Shohei Ohtani, pitcher, 8 years, $230 million. So if this guy were a pitcher only, 8 years, $230 mil. They value him as a hitter at 10 years, $333 mil. And then they write, do with this what you will. Yeah, I don't know. I guess what you do with that is you just add them together. You give him an 18-year contract worth $563 million. Mathematic Van Smack for you. Mathematical Van Smack at your disposal. So they value him 8 years, $230 million. 10 years as a pitcher. 10 years, $333 million as a hitter. Easy. 18 years, $563 million. I'd go in there and bang on the desk. I want two contracts. I want a pitcher's contract, and I want a hitter's contract. You know what he should do? He should get two agents. They should have the one agency to do his pitcher deal, and his other agency to do his hitter's deal. You know, let the Boris Corporation handle the hitting deal. That's the bigger deal. And then find somebody else to do the pitching side. What I would do. I guess I answered my own question. That's how you value him. Pretty amazing. Or how about this? How about you get really creative? What if you do a deal for him as a pitcher with LA, but a DH or a position player with the Yankees? And do both. After all, he's as good as anybody at both. So, if you do two deals, and he should, Because if his deal as a pitcher values out to be 230 and his pitcher or his deal as a hitter is valued at 333, he should have two deals. And if you're going to have two deals, why not have two teams? Pitch for LA, pick up a bat for the Yanks. One problem. What if they ever play each other? Well, I'll tell you what. I know enough to put him in a different league, so that doesn't happen very often. Yeah, but what if it happens in the World Series? Ain't my problem. I'll let the agents handle that. I'm just starting the conversation, all right? The agents are paid to figure that stuff out. I'm just giving you some help. I'm just getting you started. SpotRack said, do with this what you will. So I did. What I did was say, get him two contracts. Get him two agents, two contracts, and two different teams. What, you can tell me he doesn't justify that? I got to be honest. I'm not even sure those numbers sound right. They sound a little low. Like, Jacob DeGrom just got 5 years and $185 million at age 34. So shouldn't Ohtani be worth more than 8 years and $230 million at 28? I would think. But then again, that's what his agency is for. Man, can you imagine that negotiation? Wouldn't suck to be him or his agent. Hey, Jim, love the opening segment and appreciate your support. Just want to let you know, you can do the math. I'll do the waitress. Signed, Rick Pitino at Olive Garden.
If you do the math, I'm doing the Alfredo.
So, never-ending pasta bowl. It's interesting. I was a guest speaker at the Jason Barrett conference yesterday. And Barrett is somebody who watches over the media. He's really good at what he does. Really good. An exceptional networker. And he covers sports talk radio. He's been a PD, consultant. Like, he's really knowledgeable. So he puts together this great event. And they had it in L.A. this year. And I went up for it afterwards. And he and I did Q&A. And after he was done with the Q&A portion, he opened it up to the crowd. And they asked me questions. And somebody asked me a really smart question, I thought. And this guy, I'm paraphrasing, said, what is the statute of limitations on what you can ask a guest if a guest got into trouble or committed some transgression or something bad happened? How long do you keep asking that guest that question? And I said, that's a great question. You know, if I've had that guest on and we've covered it three times in the last 9 years, are we not covered? Do I have to keep asking the question? I said, that's a really good question. I would put it to you clones because you keep bringing up this same stuff about Pitino that I've already said. You can stop bringing it up. You've brought it up for years. The statute of limitations has run out. He had to go to the back of the line. He had to start over.
I've been doing this for years.
He had to go to Greece
years.
To get a job.
Years.
And came back
years.
To Iona.
Years.
And yet I'm still
years.
Getting things signed years. Rick Pitino years. At Olive Garden.
Years.
I'm still getting idiotic
years.
Pieces of content
years.
That say, years. Love the opening segment years. And appreciate your support. Years. Just want to let you know you can do the math. I'll do the waitress. Signed, Rick Pitino. At Olive Garden.
I'm doing the Alfredo.
What's the statute of limitations? I can't give you a number, but I know it's run out on this guy. All right? We've covered this already. Do any of you ever look ahead? Ever? Because you're never going to change. You're never going to grow. You're never going to evolve. Your life's never going to get better. And most of all, for my purposes, your takes are never going to get better because they're the same takes over and over and over and over again. I mean, come on. This one is directed at Shohei Ohtani. I already know who it's from without knowing who it's from. Shohei Ohtani. If Artie Morano let Shohei walk, he needs to sell the damn team. this swap meet version of Walt Disney is the reason the Angels have been ass. Signed V in the fee. War Otani throwing more gas than Ian Pull My Finger Tur. V, I'm telling you, dude. Other than James Kelly immediately giving you kudos, dude, both of you are this close to having nothing to do with the show ever again. You, Kelly, and you, V. Hey, listen, this is not even a case of Artie maybe letting him walk. Shohei's not only going to walk, my man's going to run out the door. He's not giving you any indication he wants to be here, and why would he? The biggest moment of his major league career was last night. And it kills me to say that about the team that's my next door neighbor. But the biggest moment of his major league career happened during the World Baseball Classic. The biggest moment of his major league career didn't even happen in the majors. So this is not a matter of the owner letting him walk. My man is going to sprint the hell out the door. Rich Kane makes an obvious point. Rich, yes, I know, Rich. I'm asking rhetorically. He's like, isn't it obvious, Jim? The statute of limitations never runs out for the clones. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for clearing that up for me, Rich. Thanks for the point of clarification, Rich.
Classic.
Hey, Rich, I know you're on my side. But yes, I know this, Rich. I know. Yes, Rich, I know. Believe me, I'm the one who's been here every day for 30 years. I know. All right, when we come back. All right, I thought that was a good question, though, from that guy in the audience yesterday. If you're interviewing people and you're a talk show host, at what point do you stop asking them about their worst moment? If it's not topical and it didn't just happen, how often do you keep bringing it up? I think that's fair. I'll tell you this. Everett and I had our little incident more than a quarter of a century ago, and it still comes up all the time. And I don't care. I'm not saying that it wasn't a bad night for me, but I'm saying it's fair game. It doesn't bother me when people ask because that's part of my career and who I am. There is no statute of limitations. But if I'm interviewing athletes, do I keep going back to the worst thing that ever happened to them over and over again for 20 years? No, that's probably not fair, especially if they've owned it and they're responsible for it and they're sorry for it and the contrition is legit and they're sorry that they did it as opposed to sorry that they're in it. Just some of the things we talked about yesterday at the Barrett Conference. Time extremely well spent. Enjoyed it. Always appreciate the invite, Jason. Good job, dude. Good job. Good effort. Good show. Spent some time on the campus of USC yesterday. I should go back to LA today. I've already run twice this week. Let's get you a sports update. Here is the latest. Here is Rich Ackerman. Get to the ATP. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you clones get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Dear Jim, my son has to portray Grandpa Joe in the high school play that they do for the elementary kids. Any advice for how he should act in that role?
Grandpa, look at Augustus.
Don't worry, he can't drink at all.
Liz in Falls City. Are you for real, Liz? Is that true? Because if that's true, I'll answer the question. If you're just being a troll, I'm not going to. If your son has to play Grandpa Joe, here is my advice. In order to get into the role, really be in the role, just act like the worst human being ever. Act like the worst guy ever. Act like the worst father ever. Act like a complete a-hole. act like the laziest slob and glom ever. And then put yourself in that mindset by remembering that Grandpa Joe, and I want to be very clear about this, I hate that guy. And I don't really hate that many people, a few. He's at the top of the list. Because while his daughter's out there working herself to the bone, triple shifting, this old man is faking like he's ill and sitting his wretched ass in bed all day long while she's working her ass off. And then all of a sudden the kid produces a golden ticket and this dude's clicking his heels together and can run a 4-minute mile.
'Cause I've got a golden ticket.
That's what you tell your kid, Liz. Son, you're playing the worst, laziest piece of crap ever. Be that, and you'll nail the role. I hate that old man.
Come on, Charlie. Let's get out of here.
I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do. Slugworth wants a gobstopper, and he'll get one.
Would you shut your mouth, Joe? Why don't you help your daughter out? Why don't you do something for the family, you selfish old bag? Yimmy, will Big Head be on the daily tomorrow prior to the Sweet 16? Patrick in Canada. I don't know. I never know. Patrick, it's kind of up to him. He lets me know.
Winthrop.
He's saying Friday, not tomorrow. All right, so we'll do a Big Head segment on Friday. Hi, Jim. When you're watching Netflix, do you or Janet rewind scenes at all in case you miss something, or do you let the show play through? Thanks, Bell B in Calgary. Of course. We'll wind back. Why wouldn't I? We don't spend the entire show doing that, but if you miss something, or did that person say that, or what did they just say? Yeah, sure, why not? That's part of the Bennies, right? Being able to do that. Mr. Rome, you recently asked Alvy how many drops he has in the library. How much time would it take to run all those drops back to back like the ultimate week that was? Perhaps he could just do a whole show when you're next in the basement just playing drops. Thanks. Emery in Portland. War. Now it's a great matchup now. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. First of all, both those things are awesome. Alvy, what a great question. How long do you think it would take if you ran that thing on a loop? Or not on a loop, but you just played it. Back to back to back to back. Alvy says years. How many?
I've been doing this for years.
How many years?
Years. Years.
A million.
Years.
Emery, dude.
Years.
First of all, great question. Great point.
Years.
Yeah, I got it, Alvin. Thanks.
I've been doing this for years.
I got it, Alvy. I love his war. Quote, now it's a great matchup now. Okay. Okay. He's talking about an exchange I had with Larry Johnson yesterday. We're right off the top, and I don't know that I've ever spoken to him, or it's been a long, long, long time. And I said, hey, Larry, remember those amazing matchups that we, UC Santa Barbara, used to have with you and the Running Rebs? And that was his response. Oh, now they were great matchups. Okay.
Now it's a great matchup now, huh? Okay, okay.
That was so funny to me. That was so funny to me. I absolutely loved it. I'm still laughing at that. They were, dude. You know they were. You know they were. I liked that almost as much as I liked him telling me that one game you won against us, you stole from us. And I had to remind him of the concept of scoreboard. I said, my man, you more than anybody understand scoreboard. Look up at it. UC Santa Barbara 78, you fools 70.
Y'all didn't get anything, man. Y'all stole a win. Y'all stole one win.
Larry, you're my man, you're a college Hall of Famer. You understand the concept of scoreboard. Us 78, you 70.
Listen, can I talk about the Duke game? I can't talk about the Duke game.
Dude, how about him trying to steer off that topic, too? What a pro. When I hit him with scoreboard, he's like, yeah, anyway, can we not talk about that Duke game that we won by 30? Yeah, or where they got you after that. I love that conversation. That was Larry Johnson yesterday. So good. Here's your ATP. In fact, there is your show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Okay, now, there's your Wednesday edition. Remember, later on today, in fact, not long thereafter, we're going to have episode 260 of the Jim Rome podcast with Bob Myers. I'm actually going to do some work for a reinvention project episode also this afternoon. Another big day. My thanks to Dan Hurley, Mitch Henderson, the XR4TI, of course, and you clones. You have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow. We're out.